The Old Testament lesson is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament lesson is from Romans chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptations comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, He rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father, who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We continue with our Romans series as we have been all summer long. I know school is starting up this week for everybody, but you'll get one more Sunday even of Romans after this one. We're getting close, though. In these last couple of weeks, we've been looking at, it started with first being in the body of Christ with him as our head and how we operate together. And then we also talked last week about how we can operate with the people in our community. We got to talk about the whole quotation about being kind to those who are mean to you, that you might heap burning coals on their head, and how that's a good thing for them, and it's a good thing for us even. We talked about how God, in showing mercy to people, can change their hearts, and they would be led back to follow him as we continue to follow our Savior, Jesus Christ, who shows mercy to us. Then in that vein, we jump into Romans chapter 13 today, where we get to talk about a nice easy one, politics. Yay! I will say, and I'm very thankful for this, you may not know this already, but for those who were involved in the call process for me becoming a pastor here just 2 years ago, that in the call process when it said, this is what we're looking for in a pastor, it said very specifically, in bold letters, all caps, we shall not preach about politics from the pulpit. To which I said, oh man, I heartily agree. And here I am 2 years later. No, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm only talking about what's in Scripture here. It's fine. The idea, though, that we have a place as God's people, not just here in this church, but in the community around us, in the community at large, those people who do not yet know our Savior Jesus, who have not yet been brought into trusting and following the King of Love, who is indeed our Good Shepherd. The people who don't yet know what we know about who it is that has led us here. The one they don't yet know that they can sing, the King of Love, my Shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. We want the whole world to be able to sing along with us that hymn that we just sang. And one of the best ways we can do that is by showing who we are within our community. Many of you had the opportunity, both this summer and last summer, to see me get dunked in a dunk tank here in the Good Day in Damascus. And people have said, oh, wow, great job, Pastor. It's so great for you to get out there and get our name in the community. I had the easy job. I sat there and I got my annual bath. We had other people who were sitting out there and thank you. Good. Thank you for laughing. We had other people who served the whole day serving in our tent, getting to talk to people who would come by about our church, about our school ministry, about the different things that Jesus has done for us. You had the opportunity to go and just wander around and be a part of our community there. You guys continue to do this good work of being in the community to show people who Jesus is. One of the ways we get to do that is by listening to and following all the authorities that God has placed above us in various capacities. One of the ways we can continue to show that we trust in the one King, the King of Love, is by showing how we respect and honor those positions of authority that are above us. This is an appropriate thing, I suppose, with school starting next week. Kim, I wish there were more of your students here to hear this. We respect all of the authorities that God places ahead of us. That's the parents in the home, the grandparents who assist, the aunts and uncles. That's teachers of all natures. Sunday school teachers, homeschool teachers, classroom teachers. That's all of the people in our local authorities, our local government, police, other first responders, sheriff's deputies, governors, mayors, the president. There are so many various authorities that we have. I didn't even mention your boss, if you happen to have one. And all of these different authorities deserve the respect and honor given them by the position God has put them in. God has given each authority their position where they're at. And we, following Jesus, give them their due credit. Again, we do what Jesus says. That's what it means to be a disciple of him. I didn't just talk about that 2 weeks. We've been talking about that every time we talk about following Jesus, being his disciple, following after him. And we can see no more clearly, the easy one when we talk about taxes is to picture when Jesus is saying, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, when they ask, well, who should we give taxes to, thinking they're going to catch him, saying like, oh, see, look, he doesn't trust in God. He trusts in other people. Jesus says, no, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But more than just what he says there, showing that he would humble himself to be obedient to whatever Pontius Pilate would rule would happen to him, showing that though I could literally just walk away from this being God, that I can show my power and my authority and get out of suffering and dying on the cross. If Pilate says I should go there, then that's what'll happen. Jesus was obedient to the consequence of everyone telling Pilate he had to be crucified. He was obedient to the Father in heaven who had sent him to do this. And so in listening to the Father, he listens to Pilate. He receives all of his beatings, takes the cross on his shoulder, and marches up the hill because he's, in following the authority of this earthly ruler, he is fulfilling the will of God, that you and I would be saved from our sins, that he would die in our place. When we are obedient to God's word, even if it means following a leader and an authority figure that, man, this person does not have God's will in mind, God can still and will still act through us and even through that individual. In the Old Testament, we see this in all sorts of other kings. King Nebuchadnezzar multiple times. Kings who did not fear and honor or trust in the one true God. And yet, God used them to execute his will. We see it in the exile of God's people into Babylon when they are taken away for their faithlessness in following God and the city is destroyed and God's people are no longer dwelling in the promised land. God uses all authorities, good and bad, depending on even who is looking at them, who would judge them to be good or bad. He puts them in place for a specific purpose. And in that time, it can be hard to see, God, why is this person in authority? Or why is this person someone I have to listen to? But we're told nonetheless, as a disciple of Jesus, to listen to our authority. And once again, as we're in these back parts of Romans, this is a pretty law-heavy sermon so far. But remember where this is all stemming from. We are listening to our earthly leaders because we listen to our heavenly leader who loves us, Jesus Christ. If we know that God loves us so dearly, that Jesus Christ, the one who was there at the beginning of all things, the one who was the word that helped speak into existence all things, if that same word would choose to take on the form of a man, to be humbled, to be brought low, that he would then live perfectly an obedient life, all because he loves you, How can we do anything else as his disciple? I've used this example before from one of my seminary professors. He's someone who you'd say something right in class and he'd yell at you about it. It was great. It was my favorite class. I loved him. It's like, I came home and told Bethany one day, like, man, it's been a long time since I was yelled at for being right. That was fun. That was really nice. I think the official response was, you're right. I wish you wouldn't be you. Okay, thanks, Dr. Scare. It was all part of a shtick. Don't worry. He's a good guy. But he would say, you know, when you're talking about something that sounds very law-heavy or very gospel-heavy, you know, we Lutherans, we like to distinguish between law and gospel. Tell me, is this law or gospel? The queen sends you a summons. Your presence is required at this ball, at this celebration. Is that law or is that gospel? It sure sounds like law. Your presence is requested. The queen just invited you to her gala. I mean, this is a great thing. What a wonderful gift. You are welcome. Please come. It's like that's, he in his mind, is pure gospel. He liked England a lot. The idea that Jesus Christ is calling us to this, to love one another, it sounds like law. And in fact, if I make it a law, if I say you've got to love one another or else you're not a good Christian, that's very law heavy. But remember, this is all flowing from saying you're in this one body. Christ is your head. Life is flowing through you because he has put you there. The previous chunk was talking about how you've been adopted into the family. Now we're in the family, not just in the family. You're a part of the one body, Jesus Christ. You serve and live through him and in him. And if you are living in Jesus Christ, if you are a part of his body, the church on earth, you get to show a true love in a way that the world does not understand. You know something far greater. You know that the king, not just an earthly authority, the king of all things, is a king of love. You get to be the one to tell everybody God loves you. Not God loves you if you start becoming a good person and you love other people and you trust in him and you're his disciple. No. Right now, at this very point in life, God loves everyone. Now, it has not been given to you as a member of authority yet inside of the church as a pastor to be up here telling people that God loves you. Lord willing, I can convince some of you guys maybe to become a pastor someday. But we saw that Jesus said, if for anyone who would cause someone to stumble, for anyone who would cause someone to fall away from God, anyone who would cause somebody to believe in something different than Jesus Christ, it'd be better that he'd have a millstone hung around his neck and thrown into the sea. That's why I told you early on when I first showed up, I just get the opportunity to serve here as pastor because you've called me to do that through the church. God has called me to this position. You as a church extended a call to me, and I get to be here. I don't have any authority on my own accord. God called me into the ministry, sure, but I don't have a calling as a pastor unless the church says, we want to call you to be our pastor. And yet the authority I have, given to me by you, comes with a pretty big danger sign, a big warning sign on it. Caution! Do not speak something other than the true gospel, or you're thrown in, it'd be better to be tossed in the sea with a millstone around your neck. So that's why I think I said early on, I think maybe week two that I was here, if you ever hear me say something that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, please tell me. I welcome you to share it with me. Because you do have a role. You have a role as God's family, as God's children, that where you would hear God's word spoken, you would say, hey, I recognize God's word, and that's great. Or, wow, that sure isn't true based on God's word. I should go and lovingly help correct somebody, even an authority figure. So in the church, that looks like, hey, pastor, I heard this. What did you mean? You don't have to say it that way, but it sure is nice instead of just coming and saying, you're wrong. I mean, you're probably right, but tell me why I'm wrong. Now, outside the church, where people don't know you and they don't have the relationship with you necessarily, how do you show them what it means to love? Well, Jesus is clear. You can show love by just giving honor and respect to those who are in authority. We don't want people to see the Christians as those crazy fanatics who don't go out there and they're not good parts of the country, they're not good parts of their community, they don't listen to the laws, they do whatever they want to do. We don't have to agree with everything that happens in the public sphere, but we don't have to remove ourselves from it either. We live and we follow the one true King first, his authority over all. But here in this life, we also have other authorities that we follow. And when we do it well, it's showing our love for even where God has placed us, our love for others, that we would respect and honor the position that God has put them in. And so in so doing, in showing that love, you get to follow your head, which is Jesus Christ. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. The law says, go out and owe no one anything. If you owe them something, give them what they deserve. That is the law. To go and show love. But then this tag at the end. Owe nothing except to love each other. That's a callback to the gospel that you know and I hope will never leave you in your heart. God loves you dearly. He's not just called you only to be a part of his family. He's called you into the very life of Christ. We were told that in baptism we died to ourselves and died to sin, and we rose with a new life in Christ Jesus. You live in him. His love is yours to have and to share. Continue to follow the King of Love, the one who shepherds you through this life, leading you every step of the way, in the hopes that more sheep might come and follow him, that they might come to say, the King of Love, my shepherd is. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.